Well, I have a word from you for you from God tonight. And here it is. God wants you to live in victory. He wants you to live in victory in every single part of your life. And so tonight, if you're taking notes, my title is Dealing with Life Victoriously. I'm going to be talking about daily living in the victory that God has for you, that God has for each and every person. Please don't make yourself an exception to this. This is for you. This word is for every single person in this room tonight. Accept it. God wants you to live in victory. You see, he said in John 10:10, the thief comes not except to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That promise is for you. God wants you to have abundant life. It says in the Amplified, I came that they may have and enjoy life. God wants you to enjoy your life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. God wants your life to overflow with blessing. It says in the New Living Translation, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, I want that. I want my life to be rich and it to be satisfying. That sounds like victory to me, does it you? And that is for every child of God. Our Heavenly Father is so good. He loves us so much and he has so many good things for us. You know, he wants you to enjoy your family. God wants you to enjoy and have life at your job. He wants you to enjoy your church and your friends. He wants you to enjoy health and healing and wholeness in your body. Don't let Satan steal it from you. You know, but the greatest blessing that God has bestowed on each of us is the opportunity to have a personal relationship with him, to know him personally, to be able to speak to him on a one-to-one basis. A wonderful gift that God has given us is that he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of us. What a gift. What a blessing. But you know, we do have an adversary who wants to mess up our lives on a daily basis. Did he try to mess up your life today? But Jesus said, he said in John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation. In the NIV it says trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He has provided a way for you to overcome any trouble that comes your way. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I just don't like the first part of that verse that says, in the world you will have trouble. I don't like that part. It says in the New Living Translation, here on earth you have many trials and sorrow. In the Message Bible it says, in this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. And in the Amplified, in the world, you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Were you frustrated today over something? Were you in distress over something today? You have an adversary. Daily, he works against you. Actually, we can all testify that this part of the verse is true, that we do experience trouble in our lives. But why are we so surprised when trouble comes our way? Why are we surprised when something doesn't go right, or somebody lets us down, or a day doesn't go like we planned it? The Bible says that we're going to have trouble. And oh, how I wish you didn't say that. Don't you? But you know, we're not in heaven yet, and we live in a fallen world. And as long as we're here, Satan is going to be there, our adversary, to bring trouble. So what are you going to do about it? In your everyday life, those things that get on your nerves, those circumstances that drive you crazy, the things that frustrate you, what does the Bible say we're supposed to do about those things? Again, John 16:33, he said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In the Amplified, be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. I like that word. Be undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and to have conquered it for you. So how can you be cheerful when you know there's going to be trouble? Because you know you're going to overcome. What is your attitude about trouble besides the fact that you don't like it? When trouble comes your way, are you afraid? Does fear come over you, afraid of what might happen? When trouble comes, do you hide from it, cower down, avoid it, look the other way? Do you remember as a child in bed at night ever being afraid that someone was going to get you, and what did you do? Put the covers up over your head, hide from it like that's going to make it all better? Do you run from trouble? Well, the Bible tells us a good way to deal with trouble. David, when he faced Goliath. You know, when David, I'm going to replace Goliath with the word trouble, because Goliath was trouble. And Goliath represents the trouble in our lives. And what did he do? 1 Samuel 17:48. So it was when the Philistine, and I'm going to replace the word Philistine instead of Goliath, I'm going to replace that word with trouble, okay? So it was when the trouble arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David ran toward that trouble. He ran toward it. And that's what my attitude needs to be for whatever comes up against me, because Jesus has already overcome the world. Now, I do not live expecting things to go wrong, but I am ready when it does. I'm expecting to overcome anything that comes against me. Let me give you an example. Let's say you have a fear of failing at something. You're afraid. What do you do about that fear? You run towards it. You run toward it with prayer. You run toward it with the Word of God on your tongue, speaking it out loud. You speak things like, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We don't run from trouble. We run towards it with prayer, and we run towards it with the Word of God on our tongues. I tell you, God will prepare you for what you're going to face if you will let Him. He knows what's in the future, and He knows what you need. So how are you going to be ready to deal with life victoriously? To deal with everyday life? How are you going to be ready for what you're going to face each day? How are you going to be ready to face those small, irritating things? And how are you going to be ready to face those big things that knock you down and you don't know how you're going to handle it? I tell you, God offers a way for you to be able to build up your spirit man, that inward man on the inside, so that you will be able to defend yourself against anything that the devil throws your way. It's just like physical training. You can build your physical body up on the outside. Just as you can do that, you can build up your spirit on the inside. So there's two basic ways that you can train your spirit, that spirit man. Reading your Bible and prayer. How many of you knew I was going to say that? How many of you heard that? Reading your Bible and praying. But the problem is we just don't do it. It's like we know to do good, but we just don't do it. When I'm talking about reading your Bible, I'm not talking about a casual reading. I'm talking about reading it in a way that you study it, you're meditating it, and you're allowing it to become a part of who you are, becoming the way that you think, so that when that trouble comes, the Word of God rises up within you, and that's how you think. That's what I mean by training your spirit when you read the Word of God. See, if you just spend like 5 minutes in the Word of God, well, that's good, but you're not going to be very strong. It's kind of like we want to build up your physical body. And you, let's say I want to build some muscle, so I'm going to lift these 3-pound weights. Well, you know, great, you can do that 50 times, but it's not going to make you stronger. You got to get something heavy that hurts, that's hard to do, that tears down that muscle so that it will build up and be stronger. See, we're so lazy when it comes to reading the Word of God. It's fine just to read it, you know, just enjoying it and reading it, but you've got to dig into it. You've got to memorize it, and that, you know, that takes effort. You've got to memorize it and allow it to become a part of your study. That's what I mean to build up your spirit by reading the Word of God and also through prayer. See, prayer is a vital thing. It's not just something you maybe you have a book that you read your prayers and you read it through quickly. Well, it's good that you do that, but you need to move to the next level. When I'm talking about praying, I'm talking about interceding before the Lord. I'm talking about time, that you spend time, just you and God, talking to Him, presenting your requests before Him, times praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. Spend time doing that. Pray. You see, that time of prayer is not only just presenting your requests to the Lord. So you see, but the time of prayer and the way you build up your spirit is you're learning how to listen to and hear God's voice. See, the more time you spend alone with the Lord, studying your Bible, reading and praying, you learn to hear God's voice and know His voice. You're growing inwardly. You're growing in your spirit so that you will be strong, and when trouble arises, you'll be able to hear God's voice and know exactly what to do. That's training your spirit. There's other ways you can build up and train your spirit. Now, those are the two basics, reading the Word and prayer. That's kind of like the basics in taking care of your physical body. You got to sleep, you got to eat right, and you got to exercise. If you want to take care, you want to be in top physical condition, you got to do those things. Spiritually, if you're going to be strong, you've got to read your Bible the way I described it, and you've got to pray and spend quality time with the Lord. Then your spirit will be strong. But there's other things you can do as well. In addition to those two, you can use your faith. You can decide that you're going to start praying and believing God for certain things. Start with small and start praying and believing God for what God has said in His Word to you about your situation. Using your faith will make your spirit stronger. You train your spirit by choosing to live right. You see, when you know that God speaks to you and you're watching something either on TV or on the internet and something inside says, turn that off, change the channel, that you actually do it. That will train you. Because see, what happens is, how's that training your spirit? Well, because if you look at that filth, that tears your spirit down and you're weakening yourself. You need to turn it off and turn it to something else. You train your spirit by going to church regularly. Now, I'm speaking to the best here because you're here on Wednesday night. But it trains your spirit. I'm telling you, you may be here tonight, this Wednesday night, but next Wednesday night, the devil's going to provide an opportunity for you to stay home or go do something else. You train your spirit by being in church regularly. You also train your spirit by going to special meetings. And I want to take a minute here to make a plug for our ladies' retreat. Our ladies' retreat is coming up in September, September 12th and 13th. That's a Friday night and a Saturday morning. And ladies, it is approximately 18 hours of your life. 18 whole hours. I want to encourage you, this will be a time to build up and train your spirit. God has given me a word. He's working on me. I'm very excited about what He wants me to share. But if you're not there, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss something that God has for you. Now, the devil's going to be there to keep you from training your spirit. He's going to say, you can't leave your family for that amount. You've got to be there. Or you've got to do this. Or you've got to do that. Really? 18 hours you can't give to the Lord to get away. I'm challenging you. I'm encouraging you. Put those dates on your calendar, September 12th and 13th, and put it aside and say, and tell your family, this, I'm going to go and I'm going to get strong so I can be better to serve you, to be a better mom, to be a better wife, to be a better employee. I want to encourage you to do that. And there'll be more about that later, but special meetings, that builds up your spirit. Here's another way you can build up your spirit, and that's making daily positive confessions. Making positive confessions. I've always heard about doing that, and I've always done it kind of sporadically, here and there. But recently, just the last few weeks, I got me a notebook, and I wrote out my confessions that I wanted to make, and I keep adding to them. It's getting actually pretty long. But as I do this every day, day in, day out, it's really changing me. Really changing me. Things like, the Word of God is the final authority in my life. I'm healed from the top of the head, from my head to the soles of my feet. Nothing broken, nothing missing, nothing malfunctioning. Just lots of things. I'm confident to speak in front of live audiences. I will not hurry when I drive. I will drive in a way that brings glory and honor to God. That's a biggie for me because God has been dealing with me about my driving for at least 2 years, that I'm not to hurry when I drive. But you know what? Since I've started making that confession every day, I'm doing so much better. Now, I'm not perfect, but I'm really getting better. But making confessions that God impresses you, that you need to start saying every day, that will build up your spirit and make you strong when you stand against temptation. And one other way I want to talk about how you can build up your spirit strong, and you may not have thought about this, but it's having Christian friends, having good Christian friends. That can help make your spirit strong. For example, the Lord had been dealing with me about doing something for a long time, and I hadn't done it. I just was weak. I couldn't do it. So I went to a friend, Kelly Qualls, and I said, Kelly, I need to be doing this. So please text me every day to see if I have done it. And I would text her to say, I did it or I didn't do it. And it was so hard to text her, I didn't do it today. Oh, I didn't do it today. It was just so hard for me. But it really helped me being held accountable that I'm getting victory over that area, over what God wants me to do. But you see how that having Christian friends, that will help you to grow spiritually and to be strong. You need that. Spiritual training is something that should be done daily so that you will be ready when trouble comes. You know, physical training. You know, I have this goal that for me, I have a goal that I have 2 times a week I go to a weightlifting class, and 2 to 3 times a week other than that, I try to run. Now, that's my physical goal. And I find, now this is why I'm telling you this, I find when I'm consistent to do that, I feel so much better. I've told my husband several times lately, I'm so glad I work out because I feel better and I can do things I know I couldn't do if I hadn't. And you know, as you're getting older, you need to do that. But it's the same with spiritual training. You have to be consistent. That's a key. It's a key. It's one thing to get all inspired tonight and go home and do it for a couple of days, but you have to be consistent day in, day out, day in, day out. Then you'll be able to handle life better. Then you're going to be, I'm telling you, you will be a happier person. Why? Because what's on the inside? Because the inside of you is different. It doesn't necessarily mean the circumstances are different, but see, you're seeing life differently because you've been consistently in the Word. You've been consistently building up your spirit, and you can handle life better. I tell you, if John 10:10, if abundant life does not describe your life, then something is wrong. I'm telling you, life is not supposed to be hard all the time. If it is, what you need to do is to build yourself up spiritually so that you can stand against the attacks of the enemy. You can stand against him when he lies to you. You can stand against him when he sends somebody your way to treat you wrong. When he sends somebody your way to hurt somebody that you love. You need to be strong so you can stand against his attacks. I have a new favorite verse. My new favorite verse is Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I like that phrase in there. We're supposed to have joy and peace in believing. Joy and peace in believing. See, living by faith is a life of joy and peace. Despite whatever your circumstances are, you can be at peace. Why? Because you know who your God is. You know that you win. You know that you will overcome. All the promises of God, I know they're for me. All the promises of God are for you. And they will be fulfilled in your life if you'll just simply obey God and trust Him. What overcomes the world? When I'm speaking about the world, I mean the problems that we face in the world. What overcomes all these problems? It says in 1 John 5:4, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. This is the victory that has overcome all those problems that you face. It's our faith. It's our faith. You say, but I don't, that faith thing is hard. That's only for spiritual people. No, that faith thing is for you. You can be strong in faith if you build up your spirit. If you do these things I've been talking about, your spirit, it will build up. You are not the exception. You are not the one that it won't work for. It only won't work for you if you don't build up your spirit. But if you choose to do that, you will. You'll have faith. Our faith becomes strong if we daily take the time to train ourselves spiritually. And it's something that only you can do. So do you want lasting change? Do you want victory? Well, the key is that, another key is that you don't make a temporary change. You see, this is what happens when people go on a diet to lose weight. They change how they eat for a while, and they lose all this weight. Oh, yay. But then they go back to eating the same old way, and there it is again. It comes right back. But people do that in their spiritual lives. They do that in their homes. Let's say you're having marriage trouble, you're having trouble with your kids, maybe you're having health problems, you're having trouble on your job, and you're beginning to get desperate. You think, oh, I've got to get back in church. So you get back to church, you start going to church, and you start spending some time with the Lord in devotions each day, and you know what happens? Life starts getting better. Things start happening, start going along. Life now is starting to be good. God is answering your prayers. You're seeing good things happening. But then if you slide back in, stop going to church, and start going the same old thing that you done, then you slide right back in. You've got marriage problems. You've got health problems. You've got job problems because you only made a temporary change. You got to make permanent changes. Permanent changes. Determine you're going to be. And how can you make that permanent change? Just by staying strong on the inside, by building up your spirit. There's a great example in the Word of God. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. An example of two men who faced a very difficult situation. These two men. Oh, I tell you what, I'm just going to read it. I know this is a big, long passage of Scripture, but I do believe you can handle it. I just think it's better if I read it. So please follow along and don't look at all the stuff around here. Please follow along with me. Acts 16, verse 16. Now it happened as we, speaking of Paul and Silas, it happened as Paul and Silas went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And she did this for many days. Now, Paul is getting irritated with this lady. She is annoying him. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Now, what were Paul and Silas doing? They were going to pray. And he cast this demon out of this girl. Made them mad, so they drag them off. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs that are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Now, here they're falsely accusing Paul and Silas, making up stuff. Verse 22, because you know what are they? They're mad. They're mad. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, I would say that Paul and Silas were having a very bad day. I don't think I've ever had any day that comes close to being as bad as that one. That's a very bad day. What do you do when you're having a very bad day? Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, that's not a normal reaction to being treated so horribly. How could they do that? Because Paul and Silas were men who were spiritually strong. These were men who had a totally different perspective about life. See, these men didn't live for pleasure like we Americans do. Doesn't that describe America? We live for the pleasure. They lived to fulfill the call of God. They lived to share Jesus with others. See, when your spirit is strong on the inside, you look at life differently. One of my confessions I try to make every day is that I will live each day with eternity in mind. Because see, when you're living with eternity in mind, that changes the way you view life. Those petty little things don't really matter so much, because it doesn't matter in eternity. What matters in eternity? See, when you look at life through the lens of God's Word, everything looks different because you're seeing with eyes of faith. So what happened as a result of Paul and Silas praying and singing hymns to God? The result, verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Victory! They had victory after such a bad, bad day. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm. We are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see, Paul and Silas, they reacted the right way to trouble. They praised God. They sang hymns. They prayed and sang hymns to God. They reacted the right way. So what happened? They were saved. What else happened? This jailer got saved. And if you go on to read, his whole family got saved as well. So because they reacted the right way, because they were strong on the inside and were able to react the way that God would want them to react, they were saved, and the whole family was saved as well. How can you respond in a way that will please God when you are treated badly? How can you do that? You can do that when you're strong in your spirit. I want to ask you, do your actions lead others to Christ? When people treat you badly, and you're out in this world, and people do treat you badly, the way you react, does that lead others to Christ? Are you short with people, impatient, unkind, harsh with your words? Or do you take the opportunity, like Paul and Silas did, that when other people do frustrating, irritating, and stupid things, that you're merciful and kind, long-suffering and patient, that you allow the fruit of the Spirit to come out of you instead? Now, I know that there are times in life when you just get worn down. There are some times you come against a battle that just knocks you flat on your face. Or maybe you just have an extremely busy schedule. I can particularly relate to that, because moving from the old building to here, that week of the move was hard. Physically hard. We worked, I don't know how many hours, over 80 that week. It was physically hard, but it was also mentally hard because you're making decision after decision after decision. So if you've ever moved from one place to another, it's physically hard, it's mental, because you're making decision after decision after decision. And it just wears you slap out. So what do? Go to God and get some relief. Just go to God. I found that that's what restored me when I was just worn out. It was just sitting down, reading the Word of God, praying to the Lord, and it just refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. But you know, the Apostle Paul, he speaks of a time when he got worn out, and that encourages me, because if a great man like Paul, a great man like him, got all worn out, it just helps me feel better. But let's read that little part in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. And I'm going to read, I really like it out of the New Living Translation, so just indulge me here. And Paul says, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia." So here, Paul is going through trouble. "We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure." Have you ever thought, "I just can't take it anymore"? "And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, what happened? We stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us." See how friends are so important? Your friends need you to be praying for them. You need your friends praying for you. "Then many people will give thanks to God because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. We can say with confidence and a clear conscience that we have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity in all our dealings." You see, Paul chose to live and to do right. We have depended on God's grace, not on our own human wisdom. That is how we have conducted ourselves before the world and especially towards you. God wants you to live a victorious Christian life, every area. And he's provided a way for you to be able to do that. He's provided his word. So I want to encourage you, get into the word of God. Spend time in prayer and allow the Holy Spirit inside you to teach you and allow that spirit within you to get stronger and stronger so you can stand against whatever the devil brings you your way, and you can stand during the tough times, and also so that you can just have a better life, so that you can enjoy your days, that you won't allow the devil to let little irritating things just mess you up. It comes to us all, but that's not God's plan. I tell you, I want that overcoming, wonderful life he has for me, and I want that for you as well. Amen.